This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into the lane to Siakam. Short corner, far side, right wing. Raptors in the block coming right to left. Leonard up top. Knocked away by Fournier. Gets it back. Three in the air, good. Down the bottom of the well with a clenched fist from Kawhi Leonard, 68-52. Kawhi Leonard showing Sherm he plays both ends of the floor.
At an elite level too, Jonesy.
Drives, lays it up and in, says I got this one. 17-point lead for Toronto. Timeout Orlando, 92-75 Raptors.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Raptors are one win away from the second round of the NBA postseason, and the Maple Leafs will have to travel to Boston for a Game 7 on Tuesday. And what a series it has been between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins. A back-and-forth situation. Neither team has won two games in a row. They both won on the other team's home ice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Paul Jones is the voice of the Raptors on their radio network. Kawhi Leonard with 34 points, 6 rebounds, and really the Raptors are overwhelming the Magic. We're pleased to welcome Greg Brady, who is an AM Drive host on Toronto's The Fan 590, so getting set for his morning show. And I'm not really sure if we should start with the Bruins and the Maple Leafs or we should start with the Raptors, but since we just heard from Paul Jones, why don't we start there? Kawhi Leonard obviously is a force to be reckoned with, but when you look at this team versus the playoff team that ran into the Cavaliers a year ago, what's the biggest difference between where the Raptors are now and where they were then?
Well, yeah, there's two things. One is that they know they don't have to succumb to the fate of LeBron James. I mean, that's the big problem for this team. The other is probably the emergence of Pascal Siakam as a starting forward, and not just the guy. He was coming off the bench last year in the playoffs. So they've added Marc Gasol, but I actually think Siakam and where he's been in the last 12 months, Amy, and where he's gone to as being just a phenomenal option, not just a guy to spell the starters, not just a guy to be relied on for some secondary scoring. He's the primary player. I don't think that they quite saw his emergence, and there's obviously some GMs where he was drafted down in the low teens a few years ago that passed on him that greatly regret it. That can happen in the NBA draft, but I also think he's shown that he's maybe not just the second best option for this team, but at times when Kawhi hasn't played this year, and I know I've talked to you about that before with the load management, Siakam's been their best scoring option, and I don't think we saw that coming 12 months ago.
Okay, so I have to ask, though, about the first factor. Are you really telling me that the team is better because they know they don't have to face LeBron James? That sounds like a mental block to me.
But it was. It was definitely that. They were 2-12 against him in playoff games going into last summer, which was a big reason, I think, for the two changes, not just Dwayne Casey not
but
being
Kawhi Leonard coach. Has nothing to do with that, though.
Well, it helps. No, but I think they made that move after – they made that move before knowing really the impact that other teams would have in the conference. I think we all thought Boston would be more of a regular season force. Now, believe me, you're probably forecasting it like I am. Bucks-Celtics is going to be a remarkable series. I don't think the Raptors will maybe not be the favorite against either of those teams, even though they'll have home advantage against Boston. They'd have to start on the road against Milwaukee. I mean, this isn't the series they got Kawhi Leonard for to play a 500 Orlando Magic team. But nonetheless, I think they've got more confidence that they're not getting drummed in the second round by one of the greatest players ever. They're not worried about that this year.
Well, how do they match up against it may be the Sixers. The Nets are still alive, but how do they match up against Philadelphia?
Yeah, that's a good question. They've had great success this year in the regular season against Philly. They've been very, very good against them. Kyle Lowry really gets up for those games. Philly guy, Villanova guy. He had 0 points in the first game, and I was surprised in our city how people, I think for someone who's accomplished as much as Kyle Lowry has in the playoffs and as a five-time All-Star, I was a little surprised people were worried about his game, or how's he going to respond in game two? Well, he's going to get more than 0 points in game two. That might be my answer. But I think for the most part, they've played really well against Philly. And Marc Gasol, that's a big answer for Joel Embiid. That's a big, big answer and a big reason they went and got him at the deadline.
Mm. Greg Brady with us from Toronto and the Fan 590 getting set for his own morning show. Lots to talk about when it comes to Toronto sports. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't even know how fans have the time. All the thousands of fans who stand around the arena and spend their evenings cheering and screaming, whether it's for the Raptors, whether it's for the Maple Leafs. I feel like they need to get jobs or something. No, I'm kidding. But it does seem like they are there every single night. But what's the bigger buzz right now? Is it the Raptors? Or is it the Maple Leafs?
Well, the Leafs have obviously been around a lot longer. There's been a lot more, I would argue, pain and suffering for the franchise. No Stanley Cup final appearances since 1967. That's not just the Flyers getting there and losing, or the Buffalo Sabres getting there and losing. People, I mean, I haven't been alive. Most of my contemporaries have not been alive the last time they did it. So it's not like, gee, what will it feel like to win the Stanley Cup final? And now, Andy, you've got a team that hasn't won a first round in 15 years. They've got one of the longest playoff round droughts. So there was a lot of anticipation yesterday. Your home, matinee game, national TV on both sides of the border. You can close it out against the Boston Bruins. You get the first goal, no less, early in the first period, and you still end up on the losing end of it with a Brad Marchand empty net goal. So there's panic. They lost last year in Boston in seven games.
Right.
No team's ever lost three series, or no team has lost three game sevens to the same team in a seven-year span since the 1950s, when there were only six teams, and you had a good chance of playing one another in the playoffs pretty regularly. So there's a lot of panic. People didn't want to see Boston in this Stanley Cup playoff, and if Boston goes out, that means the teams with the three highest points, Tampa Bay, Calgary, and Boston, all go out. So there's a lot of numbers that just work against the history of the Maple Leafs winning this series, and especially the fact now that they blew an opportunity at home yesterday to end it and go on in a wide-open Stanley Cup playoff now, I think we'd all agree.
For people who don't know, the Maple Leafs did lose to the Bruins last spring in seven games and also back in 2013. That's what Greg's talking about. So you're telling me then that the ghosts of the Bruins and the way that they have treated the Maple Leafs in the postseason is kind of like LeBron with the Raptors when they met in a third year in a row last spring.
Yeah, I think if LeBron James showed up at TD Garden in Boston waving the Bruins flag before the game, they'd be happy with Bobby Orr or Ray Bourque. They'd be happy. Like people believe in ghosts in this city. It's the biggest city in Canada, and we believe in the supernatural when it comes to sports. Even though, like you said, it's nice. It's late April. Things are going well. The teams have ambitions and aspirations, but everyone's waiting for the worst thing to happen when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, it seems sometimes.
All right, so neither team has been able to win back-to-back games, but each team has gone into the other's house and won twice, actually. So I'm not sure the home ice matters at all. Is there any type of an optimism then, knowing that the Maple Leafs have already won in Boston?
Oh, no question. I mean, yeah, they're 2-1 playing in Boston in this series so far. They had to win Game 5 last year in Boston to come back to Game 6, win there, and force the Game 7 that happened last year. So yeah, I think there's confidence. I think Boston should have a slight advantage with their crowd. But, yeah, NHL Game 7s are nothing like NBA Game 7s. It's about 54-55% of the time you win at home in the last 20 years. NBA is a strict, 83-84%. It's a big story when an NBA team loses a Game 7 at home, little less than the NHL. That's why Vegas is probably just as confident going against San Jose after that double overtime game last night. They've already won twice in San Jose also, so they don't care where they play. And you get to host, like I said, you get to host Columbus. There was a lot of concern that this would be a nice step for a young, talented Leafs team to go win a round, but then you're probably not going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round. And like I said, all that's changed with the Lightning losing.
So I was pretty thankful that I was coming to work after the Knights and the Sharks played into double overtime, because not only was I having heart palpitations, but there was no way I could have gone to bed. How did you manage to sleep at all after that game if you stayed up until the end?
Yeah, I tend to drift off. I've got an ability to drift off anywhere, anytime. It's not it's not narcolepsy, but it's close. you know we get our sleep, Amy, when we can. So, yeah, I was hoping it wasn't leaning towards triple overtime. And think about how, you know, the fact it started at 7 Eastern, I've seen very little of this series. You've probably seen more of it than me with the 10 o'clock, 10:30 start. It's on while you're working or while you're coming to work. It was great to actually watch that series. And I got a soft spot for Joe Thornton. He grew up near where I grew up. Don't know him, but for all the playoff games and all the wars he's been through in the postseason, you never know when Joe's going to hang it up. He's had a lot of injury worries the last few years. So I'd love to see San Jose. Vegas was a great story last year, but I'd love to see the Sharks get through.
Greg Brady with us here for just a couple more minutes before we hit the top of the hour. I'm literally not kidding. We have 2 minutes. What's the sense in Toronto? I saved the best for last. What's the sense in Toronto about Kawhi Leonard and his future with the Raps?
I've seen some people say, I'm still really skeptical he's staying, Amy, and that's not to, you know, throw a bucket of cold water on what could be a next fun several weeks for the Raptors. I do think there's anticipation, like I said, about the next round. I think there's a super confident vibe if the Raptors inevitably play the 76ers. I think there'd be more worry about a game 7 in Milwaukee against Giannis, against the Celtics, who they really haven't seen in the playoffs, but they've seen Kyrie Irving before in the playoffs when he was with Cleveland, and he was very, very good. That's a tough matchup for Kyle Lowry, obviously. It's not anybody has a tough matchup against Kyrie Irving this time of year, the way he's playing this round. So I think for the most part, there's a fear that he's going back to Los Angeles, that the Clippers are front and center, not the Lakers, obviously, but the Clippers. And it was, you know, is it a gamble worth doing? If they make the NBA Finals, for sure. If they fall next round, there's going to be a lot of questions to Masai Ujiri about why he did the trade, because DeMar DeRozan was never going to leave here.
Right.
And I know that's a nice player. He's not Kawhi Leonard, but they really, he was a real crowd favorite, a real guy that says, no, I want to keep being a Toronto Raptor. And as you know, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Chris Bosh, we've had our share of heartbreak when free agency comes.
All right, we'll see. At least we don't have to deal with that for a couple more months, the potential heartbreak. But we'll see how this road ends for the Raptors and the Maple Leafs, potentially with championships or potentially not, which is how it ends for most of the teams, right? So you can find Greg on Twitter at Greg Brady TO, and he'll be on the Fan 590 in Toronto coming up in 35 minutes. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, Greg.
Oh, pleasure, Amy. Anytime. Love it.
It's as I was talking to Greg, I was thinking, oh man, it's a situation that has the potential for all kinds of excitement, but also has the potential for utter heartbreak if it happens again. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the Raptors do move on, but they lose in the second round, which is where they lost last year. And then the Maple Leafs trip up against the Bruins again. Oh, ouch. Ouch, I'm rooting for you, Toronto. I want you to be happy. It's like Cleveland when they've been the lovable losers for so long. I want you to have a reason to be happy and to cheer. All right, we've got 1 hour to go. Game 7's on the brain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.